Those are the Racine Kilties, a 4th of July staple in our parades here in Racine. That was from 1975, Auld Lang Syne. Now, I said to Jim Messier, I said, why are we playing Auld Lang Syne? That's a New Year's Eve song. But you said that's their big
go-to song. Yeah, everybody associates that song with the Kilties.
Yeah. Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier here. We're going to be talking about the 4th of July parades from the 50s and the 60s. Were they called 4th Fest back then, by the way?
No,
they just call 4th of July parades.
I think it was a goodwill celebration. That's what it was.
You'll hear the whole history shortly, Don.
Right.
So in other words, shut up and
yeah.
Get going.
We have this all in mind. Don't
Is that
worry.
Carol's way to shut up, Don? We know what we're doing.
We know what's coming.
Just hand it over and shut your mic off.
If we can just get our act together, we're ready.
Yeah. All right. Jim and Carol are here. Jim Basir and Carol Gianforte to take us back to the 4th of July festivities in the 50s and 60s. Quite the tradition in Racine, and we still have it. It's coming up on a week from this Friday. So, hey, Jim, take it away.
Well, this is a program we did at the Golden Rondel a couple years ago back in 2023. But first, a little history about the Goodwill celebration. Starting in 1931, there was a lot of labor strife between labor and industry in Racine, and the city was really torn apart with bitterness. Roy Spencer, the retired president of Western Printing, campaigned for mayor, asking for harmony. When he was elected in 1937, he immediately began working on a community project that both labor and industry could work on together. And they did. And that's how the Goodwill Parade got started. And the entire 4th of July celebration began that very year. Oh, by the way, a couple fun facts. We've never missed a parade since 1937, and it's never held on a Sunday.
Well, I remember during the COVID, they actually had two cars come down.
Yes.
Yeah, to keep it up.
To keep the parade going.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Originally, we had a carnival and the fireworks, and that was held at Washington Park before it eventually moved to the lakefront. And there was a doll buggy parade, which evolved on the day before the 4th of July parade on the evening of July 3rd. As well as a drum and bugle corps competition at Horlick Field. Alan Gifford, he was a president and owner of Progressive Dairy. He was always famous for passing out coupons for ice cream and Cracker Jack. And he eventually became the parade marshal, and he could be seen riding his horse.
Is that Gifford School?
Yes, named after him. That's right. But during the 50s and 60s, we had a carnival, of course, fireworks, a parade, and even a doll buggy parade.
Well, just hearing the Kilties with their Auld Lang Syne brings us right to how exciting these several days were with the carnival, which we called at one point the rides, going to the rides, the doll buggy parade, the fireworks. But because there was so much, as Jim and I were going over this, we decided this has to be a two-parter. Now, Elma Plaza, we had three parts to Elma Plaza. Mm-hmm. But anyway, today we're going to just do the pleasant memories of July 3rd. And then shortly after the 4th, we're going to bombard Don to get a date soon after July 4th while the parade is still in our minds and reminisce about that. Because when we think about the parade, we all are thinking floats and music.
Mm-hmm. We'll save the best for the last,
we'll
right, Carol?
We'll save the best for last. Okay. So we'll start out with the non-best today.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the excitement. We remember that as kids, maybe any age, but as kids. It's been so hot in Racine these days, and it's even hot in the studio right now. Don has been complaining for the last half hour. Don't faint.
No, Don's been complaining for the last hour and a half. You were just here for the last half hour here.
But remember the days we were kids. There was no air conditioning, and the windows were wide open, trying to get a little breeze. What I'm talking about is the night before the fireworks, or the night before the parade. Even July 3rd, that very night, which we're talking about July 3rd, we could hear the neighbors, who were they anyway, with cap guns and fireworks and everything. But as kids, we were so completely excited, no matter how hot we were. We knew that we were going to see flags all over the place the next morning. Every porch, up and down, all our neighbors would have flags up. Now, maybe some of us, for our great 4th celebration, which was great, there's no doubt about it, all those days, relatives were coming from out of town. And one time in my family, a great aunt and uncle, they were in Wisconsin, but technically they came all the way from Montana. And it was about 95 degrees, and they really sweltered through their visit. That was the one and only visit that we had from them. But the long-distance calls had been gone into it, and mothers had been working on the menus. Now, Jim, did you have a blow-up pool in your backyard to run, to jump into and everything?
No, we just had a sprinkler. We stripped down to our underwear and ran in the sprinkler.
That was the big thing.
There's
the
an image I needed to have in my head.
That was not in the script.
By the way, yesterday, my next-door neighbor is watering some plants with her hose, and a rabbit went underneath the hose.
Oh.
And we have a video of it. The rabbit closed its eyes and just let her run water all over him.
And he said, do that again?
Yeah, he was just with his eyes closed, just getting to let the hose run all over because it was so hot outside.
Well,
and
that
so we get the video of the rabbit just eyes closed, head up, and just soaking in the water.
Well,
just like Jim in his underwear.
Yeah.
That was that was common backyard major entertainment, the blow-up pools and running through the sprinkler. We had clotheslines, so we had to be careful of those. But then the food, when we think of the 4th of July for kids with those hot, hot days, Kool-Aid. Now, what was your favorite flavor, Jim? Kool-Aid.
Probably cherry. Yeah.
Really?
It was good.
Mine was orange. Yeah. Don,
was
did you have a favorite?
You know, I didn't like Kool-Aid until they came out with pre-sweetened Kool-Aid.
Oh.
Because it had really no flavor. I liked orange. Cherry was good.
Yeah.
But it had to be pre-sweetened because it had no flavor. It had nothing to do with the original package of Kool-Aid.
I beg to differ. But anyway, and then we would all talk about our mustaches or laugh at each other with the mustaches. And on a hot, hot day, the popsicles, root beer, banana, grape, orange, cherry. Love those popsicles.
How about the two-stick popsicles? You had two sticks in them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Yes, you could break them.
Or it broke all by itself.
Yes. Creamsicles.
Oh, I love creamsicles.
Me too.
Yeah, the Good Humor Man used to come by with those.
No, were they also called dreamsicles?
Yes, same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. Kind of that orange and vanilla flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Fudgesicles. And then, you know, we were always thrilled about Cracker Jack. Sticky fingers with prizes in the box.
Yeah, those were valuable prizes to hold on to, weren't they?
Yeah. Valuable. And then as we got to be teens, from a girl's point of view, the 4th of July was a time to try to save up money and get some new good-looking outfits. On the north side, we could just walk down to Zayre's and get something with red, white, and blue. And Jim, you were over by Elmwood Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you weren't going clothes shopping, though.
No.
And downtown, of course, we could take the bus down there. But how about boys now? What shenanigans were you into?
Well, boys always had cap guns. We needed that for protection, of course. So when a neighbor kid would come over with his cap gun, you had to have you had to return fire, I guess, you know. And, of course, we had firecrackers, cherry bombs. That's how we celebrated the 4th. But I think my favorite memory as kids was the carnival downtown with all the rides. And I remember just stuffing myself as a kid with cotton candy.
That was my favorite.
Oh, wasn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
But as kids, we would go there, you know, for the rides. And some of the rides I remember, besides the Ferris wheel, was the Tilt-A-Whirl, the Scrambler. There was one called the Octopus as well. But as teens, we would go there and meet our friends there or even look for girls there. That was very common. Sometimes we'd even bring our dates to the carnival, trying to win those elusive stuffed animals, which you could be playing all day and rarely win anything, except maybe just some cheap 10-cent prize.
Because we know how honest those games were, right?
Yeah, oh, very, very honest. That's right, yeah. But were the rides safe? We didn't care. They probably were.
Where was OSHA in those days?
Yeah, we were just there to have fun,
What's your problem? So they were sitting on a truck 5 minutes before, and now you're riding on them, putting your life in danger.
Right. Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah, as long as we had fun. That's right, yeah. And we would stay till closing, till probably it got dark.
Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
Mm-hmm. And there was a carnival, too, where when you were talking about Alan Gifford from Progressive.
Yeah.
Some of the coupons were for getting ice cream there, I think, at the carnival, wasn't it?
There or at the parade. Yeah, I remember getting ice cream at the parade.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we called them the rides. The rides.
Yep.
Well, another major event. The carnival lasted several days.
Oh, yeah.
But we had one chance to be in our own parade as kids.
Mm-hmm.
The doll buggy parade. And that is still going today.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I got to sign up then. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, we lived in the 50s at our playgrounds. Now, mine was Elberton State. And I think you had one at Mitchell School?
Mitchell. That was our playground.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we had the playground leaders and activities. But when I think of how we loved, in my case, Elberton State. Now, all I had to do was walk out to the alley from our backyard and up Elbert Street and then hit the grassy area. There was a big grassy area and then a smaller area for the pavilion. And when I think of how simple it was, I was just mentioning we had a merry-go-round that we pushed, of course, and it was total dirt around it. Just dirt. And then we had an old wooden teeter-totter, just one of them. And you know how it would bump when you got to the bottom at times? And that was just in dirt. And a couple swings. The pavilion was newer. But besides being there every single day, the doll buggy parade was a big highlight of the summer. So whether you were maybe at the schools where there were playgrounds, Mitchell, for you, Jim, and Frat and Knapp. I guess we're not sure about Jane's school. But the community centers, Lakeview, Douglas Community, and in the parks, like mine, Elberton State, this is where we had our playgrounds and then where we prepared, as the 4th of July got closer, for the doll buggy parade. The big thing about the doll buggy parade, you had to have one major supply, cray paper.
I've seen videos of that parade, the old
video. Pretty exciting, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Actually, they like 8mm movies compared to the video. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we did the program at the Rondell, we had videos of the doll buggy parade.
Yeah.
And looking back at those for this, too, it was amazing how the buggies went from plain Jane to elaborate. Elaborate. I think a mother or older sister had something to do with that. But the park leaders gave us cray paper a few days ahead. And your wife was saying, Jim, that you could pick the colors you wanted.
She could pick the colors she wanted. I think she had a choice of three different ones.
Pink, blue, and yellow, I think
probably.
You said.
Yeah.
Well, some were red, white, and blue, though. I guess she was not into...
You had to pick three, I think, is what you could do.
Yeah.
We're talking about the history of the 4th of July parades in Racine from the 50s and 60s. You've got lived some of those right here.
Well, eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
Eyewitness.
I was in a 4th of July parade in my hometown once. I was the last person in the entire parade. And by the time I got there, everybody else was leaving. And
What were you? I was
in the Little League. Baseball league.
Okay.
And they put the Little League last, and then they put in order of position what, you know, you were in. And we were in last place because the coach's son was the pitcher, and he couldn't get the ball over the plate. And then they did by height, and I was, you know, the tallest, so I was the last person. My mother made me wear dress pants, dress shirt, dress shoes.
And it was 95 degrees?
All the kids were in blue jeans and their baseball shirts, and I looked like I was some kind of banker auditor or something. Auditor. Does that sound like the rides at the... you remember?
That's so apropos.
But kids don't know they're only temporary, these rides. Yeah. They don't know that they just come apart and they're put back like erector sets every few minutes. Every weekend they're at a new location. We're talking to Jim Basir, Carol Gianforte. We're talking about the history of Racine's 4th of July parade and from the 50s and 60s. And you guys have lots of memories from that. You grew up, obviously.
Both of us grew
up in Racine watching the parades. So where did we leave off here?
Well, we left off with the doll buggy parade.
Is that where I rudely interrupted you? Yeah. Okay.
We're still talking about all the crepe paper, something heavy duty subject, the crepe paper on the buggies for the doll buggy parade in three colors. But we gals, when I look at some of the pictures, now Jim had posted a darling picture lately on Retro Racine and other Facebook sites of three gals in the doll buggy parade. And, well, we gals... We wore dresses to this. We had Mary Jane shoes. We had anklets. We had little headbands with flowers or flags. We were dressed properly for this doll buggy parade. That was from the girls' point of view. Now, Jim, how about you? With your you didn't have a doll buggy, did you, Jim?
No, I won't admit it anyway. No, we had bikes that we decorated. And like Carol said, we got the crepe paper in advance, so we worked on them at our house. Sometimes our dads would help us, we would have them ready for the parade, of course. And that was a big deal for us because we wanted to have the best. We wanted the best bike, and sometimes we worked with our friends. We'd all work together to decorate our bike. Some of us even had wagons that we decorated as well. But our parade was around Mitchell School, so we always paraded our bikes around the block. But that was a great memories.
And I was trying to think with Martha Hutzik, who was a playground leader. Neither she or I can remember the route from Alberton State Park. But anyway, we didn't parade for hours, like a square block or something. Now, Rosemarie Romano, another friend of mine, she started out at Lakeview Community Center, and her memory all these years later is they walked to the Walker Manufacturing, and the prize at the end of the walk was Cracker Jack. I mean, you would do anything.
Oh, it was worth it.
We were so innocent, weren't we? Yes. And we do believe that the doll buggy parade is still going today. What a tradition.
Really?
Yeah.
When is it held?
This is all July 3rd, the evening.
So Thursday. This coming Thursday.
Yeah, next week Thursday. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you enter, Carol, just for old time's sake?
Yeah. You can push Jim in the baby buggy.
And you were just telling us you were the last person in your hometown parade was done. Yeah. So you could be the last person in a doll buggy parade.
Yeah, that was, I was the last person, 1963.
Oh, my. Well, anyway... Now we get to the wonderful, exciting part, the drum and bugle competition, July 3rd, every July 3rd at Horlick Field. And Jim, you were in the drum and bugle corps.
I was.
So this is an eyewitness account. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, like Carol said, there was always a drum and bugle corps competition July 3rd, the night before, always at Horlick Field. There were a number of drum and bugle corps competing. Now, since we were the host of Racine Scouts, we could not compete. So all we could do is just put on an exhibition. And the name of this competition was called Music on the March, which is, you know, kind of catchy, I guess. Prior to the competition, every boy participating had to be inspected by a judge. And this judge would eyeball you from head to toe, looking for things that is not correct. Maybe your button is unbuttoned, a thread on your uniform, your hair is too long, your shoes aren't shined enough, and you would get not a demerit point, but it was called a tick. And 10 ticks would be a point.
Sounds like boot camp.
Yeah. But Racine had quite a few drum and bugle corps. Did you know, Don, that Racine was once called the drum and bugle corps capital of the world? Because Racine had so many drum corps that we supported and were entertained by. The boys of 76, they were one of them. They date back to 1917 and started by returning World War I vets. The name was later changed to the Spirit of 76. The Racine Scout Corps formed in 1927. In 1964, the Senior Corps changed uniforms from the old Boy Scout uniform to the new classy red, white, and blue uniforms, complete with a chrome helmet with a big plume, and that's why they got the nickname the Chrome Domes. Another corps was an all-girl corps called the Ambassadeurs, who eventually became, they changed their name to another one, a New Day, that's what it was. Of course, Racine Kilties, probably the best known and most colorful of all the Racine Drum and Bugle Corps. They were formed back in 1934 under the guidance of the YMCA, and they were known for their striking uniforms, different colors. They had the kilts, of course, and their the headpieces. You'd know them right away when you see them coming down the parade route. And they won many awards throughout the years. The crowds loved them. Another one was the Elks Youth Band. They were not really a drum and bugle corps per se, but they were a favorite in our 4th of July parade with their purple uniforms. Now, some of the memories I have of marching in the 4th of July parade with the Racine Scouts, we had to have, of course, white gloves, white spats on our cornavan shoes. Remember spats, Don?
Yeah, I don't personally remember them. I've seen them in old movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Neckerchiefs, of course. We had army-type shirts and pants, which were woolen in the wintertime, by the way, and topped off with the Australian bush hat. It looked like a white cowboy hat. Now, we marched in very hot weather, cold and rainy weather, but one thing we always had to do, we had to keep one eye on the street ahead of you, because we were sometimes following horses. And at one time, we even followed elephants at the parade in in Milwaukee. Mm. Yeah. Now, when we had the competition, normally the first place winner of all these drum and bugle corps was always the Chicago Cavaliers. They usually finished in first place. Norwood Park Imperials were usually second, followed by the Skokie Indians. And then fourth and fifth place was a toss-up between the Madison Scouts and the Racine Kilties. Another great drum and bugle corps was the Casper Troopers, and their uniforms were reminiscent of the old uniforms that the cavalry wore, you know, back in the Wild West era. But everybody who participated in the 4th of July the competition would then march the next day in the 4th of July parade. And that's why we had so many drum and bugle corps marching in that parade back then.
We're going to take a break, and leading us into the break, in case you didn't hear it at the top of the hour, the Racine Kilties. And you said this is their big signature song, right?
It was, yeah.
Old Lang Syne.
I remember very well, sure.
All right, let's let them take us into the break here. Jim and Carol are here. We're talking about the history of the 4th of July parade in Racine from the 50s and 60s. And here are the Kilties. We'll be right back. seen kilties. How do you get to be a kiltie? I mean, it's just some kind of like training you have to go through. I mean, those guys are precision. There's precision team.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah.
do the drill and everything. I mean, what do you have to go through to apply
well, usually,
for that job?
There's a junior corps. Kilties had a kiltie cadets. The scouts had the junior corps. So you'd hone your skills there, and then when you were good enough or you aged out of the younger corps, you'd advance to the senior corps. So you were well practiced by the time you got to the senior corps.
All right. Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte here. We're talking about the history of the Racine 4th of July parade from the 50s and 60s. We heard about Carol's buggy, a little doll buggy with her crepe paper. Jim with his the Boy Scout. Well, you were the Boy Scouts, right?
Was that? Yeah, Scout yeah. Corps.
Scout
yeah.
Corps.
Right, yeah.
And, boy, you guys really were into this stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, again, after the competition, the night before, everybody marched in the following day's parade, of course. And that's why we had so many drum and bugle corps. And where did the boys stay that night? A lot of them stayed in school gyms. I know we stayed in school gyms, and when we were on the road, we stayed overnight in private homes. I know my parents took in a boy from the Madison Scouts, and that was really good. We got to compare notes, and he was my supplier of firecrackers that night. So
dealer.
Yeah. So he gave me a lot of firecrackers then. Starting, I think, in the mid-70s, a lot of these corps folded. I don't know if it was a lack of interest or other things for the boys to do or whatever, but and it got to be really quite expensive to join a corps. When I was in the Scout Corps, all we had to do was, I think, pay an initiation fee and then sell Christmas wreaths around the Christmas holidays, and that's the only thing we had to do. Everything else was paid for, but I don't think that's the story right now. But Carol has a very interesting story about the Drum and Bugle Corps. So, right, Carol?
Well, living on Carlisle Avenue, I have to say a great benefit. I don't know if selling a house we would have put it in, but again, with no air conditioning and in summer with the windows wide open, it was quite frequently that we could hear that beautiful music just floating into our homes from Horlick Field. There were practices there and then shows. And so it was a real joy. But one summer night in August of 1965, I could hear music. And I thought, well, I'm not doing anything tonight. So I could sit here on my front porch and listen to this music floating over these few blocks. Well, maybe I'll walk down to Horlick Athletic Field and just listen from a corner closer over. And lo and behold, on Carlisle and High Street was a fellow that I guess I sort of recognized from high school. I don't think I'd ever spoken with him, but turns out that he had come to visit an aunt and uncle in the neighborhood. He heard the music, so he walked over, and the rest is history. That was my husband, John.
Oh, look at that.
1965.
Mm.
Now that's 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the Drum and Bugle Corps that actually got us together.
Geez.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
But I bet also you saw people dating in the corps and even marrying. Didn't
you? Yes, we did. That was quite common, you know, especially when we were competing with the all-girl corps from Milwaukee. There was one from Milwaukee, I forgot their name, but it was an all-girl corps, and a lot of the Racine Scouts would, you know, date some of these girls, and some got married.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Good way to meet girls.
And the music played on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I would say, Jim, that Mayor Spencer...
Mm-hmm.
And his idea to bring goodwill into Racine through the 4th of July festivities.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it really, really work?
It sure did. Yep.
And so next time we will, before we forget about it, we'll relive the parade, still July.
Yep.
There were so many things about the parade, and it was a grand parade. When we did the in-person performance or presentation at the Golden Rondel 2 years ago and had the benefit of so many photos, we found out then that our memory of the floats, they were not, our memories were not exaggerated. maybe it wasn't quite up to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But these photos, especially from the Arnold family, and we'll talk about them next month, they were magnificent. And one reason were all the companies. Tell us about that.
Well, we had so many, you know, factories and industry in Racine, and just about all of them had their own float. My gosh, we had Hamilton Beach, Twin Discs, the dairies, all three dairies at the time had their own floats. Different shopping districts, Uptown had one, Downtown, Plaza had one. If there was an organization in Racine, they probably had a float. And that's why it was, you know, something that was just fantastic back then, because it was just, and add the drum and bugle corps, of course, and it was just nonstop entertainment, floats and bands and drum and bugle corps. And then we of course, we had some of the things we have now, what was it, the unicycle, the man on the stilts. Remember those? We had a lot of horses back then, I remember, because I remember watching for that.
How about those horses, those Mexican horses that can do the dancing?
Yes, yes.
I mean, those are amazing horses.
Yeah, right. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's got memories of the 4th of July. Mine is my mother, for some reason, as protective as she was, let me play with firecrackers. For some reason, I don't know why she let me play with them. I remember we were playing with them. I didn't know the firecracker I had in my hand got lit, so I'm covering my ears, and I look at it, and it's lit. And as I'm about to throw it, it goes off, and my fingers separate. Oh. And I said, are they still there? I was worrying. I never touched another firecracker. Oh. It scared me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, that's it. I'm done.
Well, it is kind of amazing. Supposedly, all this is illegal. And then you go up and down the highways and huge signs about buying fireworks.
Well, and you see what goes on here at North Beach. They have the real fireworks, the licensed fireworks. But it's like everybody's bottle rockets, fireworks going off in the hill.
For nights.
And the cops can't keep up with it all because, first of all, it's pitch dark. You don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's in their backyard doing it, I see the cops come over and try to stop them.
Yeah.
Would you tell us what you that live show you got coming up?
Yeah, we're very excited about it. We are going to be...
Not that this isn't live, but go ahead.
well, this is important, Don. This is we're very lucky to be here. But every once in a while, we make ourselves get up in front of people in person. And so on August 25th, we will be grateful to use a church sanctuary, a large sanctuary, you know, to accommodate a lot of people, Living Faith Lutheran Church on Wright Avenue. And we will be doing a semi-repeat of Washington Park Pool, but with a brand new adaptation of every one of the photos, which brings them really to life. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be centered very much around exciting new photos of Washington Park. Now, jumping off the island.
Park pool, jumping off the island and hitting somebody underneath.
Yeah, sure. You'll see that live. Fun. You know, that'll be live.
After you did the other presentation, my wife and I went down there.
Yeah.
To take a look at what it is today.
Not much left.
No, there's nothing left.
No.
And you can see where the pool was covered up, filled in.
Yeah.
But to look at it in its heyday.
Oh, I know.
And then look at it.
I know it. It's
the way it is today.
Yeah.
I know.
But, you know, times change. Things get old and you got to move on.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to balance that as we reminisce these wonderful memories, but life is good today. Even if the tennis courts are sinking, you know, it's still good. But then what we're adding is the beach.
Yep, all three
of them. We lived at the beaches. Yep. What were they, Jim?
North Beach, of course, Zoo Beach, and we had the 14th Street Beach, which was no longer in existence, but that was always a fun place to go for. If you were a Southsider, you probably went to the 14th Street Beach. We're going to be talking all about that. Plenty of photos and the personal experiences, anecdotes. It'll be a great time.
In person.
And the admission price is?
Free.
Oh, look at that.
Free.
Now, do you have reservations or just show up?
No, there's enough space that we don't need reservations.
Okay, again, that's August
25th.
And that's what day of the week?
Monday.
Monday.
Monday, August 25th.
And plenty of parking at that church.
Yeah.
Yep.
What time is it?
6:30. The doors open.
Yep.
Okay.
You might have a special guest, too.
Might be. You never know.
Yeah. Can the audience possibly guess who might be?
A lot of people leave town around that time of year.
There might be.
Okay, yeah. So part two of this is coming up a month from this week around here.
Yeah.
The actual parade.
The parade itself.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Oh, we love. Thank
now,
you,
people
Don.
Say, I missed it. I forgot they were coming on. We'll have the podcast up by late today or probably early tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
How's that? Good. All right. Sounds good. All right. 8 o'clock. Thank you, Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte.